Would to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 26. While you're turning, I'll share with you a thought that I want to put in the message. I got thinking about it when I was studying this out. At EMS, one time we were called to a bad wreck, and when we went, there was like 8 or 10 patients that was involved in that wreck. It was a pretty horrific wreck. There was 3 or 4 of them that was killed. We got there, they wasn't breathing. No heartbeat. And so what we have to do in a situation like that, you have to triage. And you have to make a triage until you get more help there, because you've only got 2 people originally, and then you get more help as time comes. And so you have to take them when they don't present themselves with a breath or a heartbeat. A lot of times we cover them with a sheet, or have someone to, while we tended to other people that were still alive. And we did this, and one was a teenage girl, maybe 16, 17, something like that. And we covered her with a sheet. And as we got more help there, one of the guys passed by and noticed that she had moved. And so he took the sheet off of her, began to work with her. And she came back after several surgeries and was able to function and get around and do really well. But she would come to the EMS building, and she would bring gifts, cookies, cakes. And she just continually come. And she said, and she always had such gratitude, because she said, "I'm just so thankful." And she would bring them to this guy. And she said, "I'm so thankful that you saw me and that you took the sheet off and you saved my life." When we worship God, we see the worth of God. When you think of God, what do you see in God? When you come to church, now listen to me a minute. It's not about me. It's not about the singers. It's not that you would come get a blessing. But some people say, "I want to go to church, get a blessing." That's really not the purpose of church. The purpose of church is that you will come and worship God. You worship God when you see His worth. I want you to think about that. Here in chapter 26 of Deuteronomy, we're going to read about the first fruits. Now, the first fruits was something that God commanded over in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 10 through 14. God commanded through Moses that the children of Israel, whenever they would take and they would bring their first fruits in, they would take a sheaf and they would wave it, and they would do several things that they would do. And what they would do is they would thank God for the first fruits. And they would take those first fruits and they would give them to God. And they would give them to be able to maintain the house of God, the temple. Sort of like what tithes and offerings are. And by the way, that's what tithes and offerings basically are. It's to honor God, but it's to keep His work alive. Why do we bring our tithes and offerings into the house of God? We bring them in to keep the work alive. Now, so the first fruits would be that you would give them in anticipation that there would be a full harvest that would come after the first fruits would come out. Then, of course, when you read the history, there would always be a gleaning in the field afterwards. That's what Ruth got into, that she was able to survive, is getting into the gleaning. It's also the picture of the first fruits was not only for Israel to have a way of maintaining the temple and to worship God through their first fruits, but it also was a type of what the first resurrection is going to be. The first resurrection is going to be the resurrection of the saved. It's going to be in three different groups. There's going to be the Old Testament saints that's done resurrected. They were the first fruits. Paul talks about Jesus being the first fruits and the company that he brought out with him when he came. You can read about it over in Matthew chapter 27. Graves burst open. Many people saw him walk. And it was something when the resurrection happened. They went up to heaven. Abraham's bosom left, the heart of the earth went to the heaven. Now that was the first fruits. Jesus went and presented, said, "Father, this is just a sign of what's going to come." Then what he did was he come back down here and he spent some time with his disciples for a few days. And he left and he went to the right hand of the Father. For 2,000 years now, the harvest has been coming in. There's been many people that saved throughout the whole world during the harvest. One sign of his coming, Brother Junior didn't know it, but he brought me some tomatoes. He said his vine was dying. This frost got it. He got the last of them. I believe we're getting the last of the harvest. I believe we're seeing the last of it. There's going to be one more resurrection after we are gone. Somewhere, sometime, and I do believe it's soon, there's going to be a shout and a trump.
Amen.
And we're going to be gone.
Right.
During the 7-year tribulation, there will be some that will be saved from every nation, kindred, and tongue that never heard the gospel. They will be the gleaning, and they will be brought in. So the first fruits was a type of that. But also here we find that God related the first fruits to something else. And this is where I want to take you tonight. Begin reading with me, if you would, in chapter 26 of Deuteronomy, in verse 1. "And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a great nation, or a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he had brought us into this place, and had given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. Now, I want you to get that. Worship. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. So tonight I want to give a thought about what real worship is. We talk about worship, and sometimes you have, in this day and time, you've got this praise and worship services all around. And what they do is they get the music generating with such a flow that it moves people. You ever been around music? Next thing you know, you caught yourself moving to the music. Take one of these little kids, turn the music on, watch what happens to them. You know what they start doing? It won't take them long to figure out how to dance to the music. They get moved. Worship cannot be pushed upon you. You cannot be pushed into worship. Worship is when you give God his worth for what he's done. It's where you give him glory and honor, reverence. You want to know what it means to worship God? Turn over to Revelation 4 and 5. Take a peek up in heaven and see what's going on around the throne of God. When you get around the throne of God, you know what they're doing? They're pouring out their worship because of what he's worth. Now, listen to me a moment. Anyone who is saved needs to worship. It's a big part of your spiritual lives. If you never worship God, you dry up. You've got to learn to worship God. When you come here, don't come here for me. Don't come here to hear a song. Come here to worship and thank what God has done. And so here, he tells Israel, he said, now, when you have your first fruits, I want you to remember a few things. So, first of all, worship is an overflow of a grateful heart of what God's done. In other words, and let me say this, we pray a lot of times in prayer. It's when our souls is obsessed with needing something. When we really truly pray, our souls get obsessed with something that we really need. When we really praise God, our souls are obsessed with blessings that God has given us. When we worship, our souls is obsessed with who and what God is and what he's done. Now think a moment. How would you describe God? What do you think he's worth? What does he mean to you? Now think about this a moment. I thought about this. What do you think about his power? Who could get up and describe the power of God? Look at everything he's done. I'll never forget the first time I went to Grand Canyon. I looked out over Grand Canyon. I said, my goodness. I'd seen pictures. I'd seen videos. But when I looked over the Grand Canyon, I said, what a mighty God we serve. I was awe-stricken. When I look and see the power of God, when I think about the grace of God, remembering where we were, what he's done, the love of God. How many could get up and describe the love of God? How hard it would be to find words. Probably one of the closest people I ever heard describe it is that song, The Love of God. And they found it in an asylum somewhere written on the wall. And it describes how how impossible it is to reject the love of God. Also, I got thinking about His mercy, His salvation, the Word of God He's given us. You see, when our souls are moved by God and having a grateful heart for what God has done. Now think about this a minute. This is a time of year when we need to stop and be grateful. We call it Thanksgiving. There's a bunch of liberals that like to wipe it off the face of the earth. Commercial-wise, they try to get rid of it every year. And speaking of such, I'll continue praying for our president. Such foolishness. I'm not even going to get into that. Worship also is when we can rest in the Lord, knowing that we are saved, secured, sanctified, justified because of Jesus. It's good to be able to come in here and to be able to think of God and what He's done. When I stand up here and I look at you folks, I think of how unjust and how unworthy I am to be standing here. I never think of myself as something. I don't. I think how little I am to be standing here. I think what God has done for me, how much I owe Him, where He brought me from, how little I do for Him. And yet He still has loved me. But you know what? I stand here, and the reason I'm able to preach is not because I keep myself saved, but He does. Amen. And I am able to worship with a free heart, knowing that I am secure in Him. I'd hate to have a belief that I could do things that I'd lose my salvation. I'd hate to have a belief that I'd be afraid of turning around doing this, A, B, or C, or D, and being lost again. I'd go through whole life being unsecured. It'd be hard for me to worship God because what could I thank Him of for if it could be taken away? Everything that I was praising for could be taken away tomorrow. I'm glad what I've got is mine. Amen. When I worship Him, I worship Him thanking Him for what He's done, recognizing that God is a giver of all things, everything that we have. And I know many of you, God's blessed you in a lot of ways. Sometimes we say, well, I'd like to have this, or I think, but if you stop a minute and realize God's been pretty good, think what all He's given us. Think what He gave us through the cross of Calvary. Think of Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit as our Comforter, present with us.
Amen.
So when we appreciate, He reminded them, He said, now what I want you to do is, He said, I want you to remember how that I redeemed you, how I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And He said, when you come and you get your first fruits, He said, of your land, remember. And folks, listen, when we sit down at our dinners and we sit down at the things in which we'll enjoy this holiday season, remember. Remember where it came from.
Yes. Amen.
Remember who's responsible for it. You know, that's why we give to Him. We give to Him out of honor, recognizing that He is responsible. Then also he said, remember how that they had brought Him out of Egypt, and they were to remember how that the lamb was slain and the blood was applied and they were brought out. And He said, remember this. Remember that you were Assyrian. Some things He's talking about Joseph. Some things He's talking about Abraham. But He said, I've made a great nation out of you. And you know what He's done for us? Number one, he's given us everlasting life, those of us who are saved. Amen. Do you get that? Everlasting life?
Amen.
He's allowed us to be adopted into his family. That's no small... Now think about this. God in heaven, the creator of the whole world, has made a way that you and I could become his sons and daughters.
Amen.
To as many as received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We sit here tonight, and our hearts ought to overflow about who he is, what he's done. Sometimes we'll get concentrated, we'll come here, and we'll be thinking about tomorrow, we'll be thinking about an ache, or we'll be thinking about a pain, or we'll be thinking about this or that, and we forget. When we come here, remember where we were when he found us. Which one of us deserved to be in the family of God? And he's adopted us. Think about his presence, his provisions, his forgiveness, his love for us. Why, though he yet knew us, yet he loved us. And how that his son, Jesus, goes and he's at the right hand of the Father. He's our advocate. Every time we fall short, every time we sin, we're able to go. And we're able to come and call out on God. And he sits there to represent us. Then think about the home in heaven that we've got coming. You know, first fruits was to look forward to things. And he said, now, Israel, now you come into your land when you come there. When you get your first fruits in your land, I want you to worship. I'm going to tell you something. Heaven's going to be full of worship.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm afraid I'll get bored in heaven. I had someone tell me that one time. I'm afraid I won't like it in heaven. I said, if you're saved, you will. Because if you go to heaven, you'll be saved. But when you get to heaven, you're going to see the worth of God. You're going to look upon the Lamb of God and you're going to understand his worth. You're going to look and you're going to, throughout all eternity, there's not going to be a moment, a second, that you hesitate from giving God praise for what he's done.
Amen.
We're going to sing. We're going to lift up our voices. And those that's been washed in the blood is going to elevate the praise of God in heaven. Somebody said, I'm going to join the angel choir. No, you're going to join the blood-bought choir. Those blood-bought saints that's going to be around the throne of God is going to be singing about God's grace. We're going to be trophies of his grace, lifting our voices up, singing in unison, seeing God for who he is and what he's worth. And we won't want to rest day or night. Of course, there'll be no night there, from giving him praise for what he's done. Who we are. What we've done. Worship, we ought to come with gratitude. Look, if you would, in verse 2. He said, thou shalt take of the first fruits of the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And shall put it in a basket and go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, place put his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and shall say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come to the country the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. Listen, that's what we're going to do in heaven. Somebody said, what are we going to do in heaven? You're going to spend eternity praising the Lord. It's not going to be grandma and grandpa. It's not going to be dad and mom. It's going to be Jesus. He's going to be the one that's going to receive it all. And so we need to come and we need to remember, have gratitude this Thanksgiving. We need to come in obedience. You know, the Bible tells us, listen, one time, not long ago, we had a couple, a man and a woman, come by. And you know, I hardly ever preach on money. I hardly ever preach on tithes and offerings. But if I feel led, I do it because I'm not ashamed of it because I think that's Bible. But something I have to mention right off the bat, I'm happy to mention something in my introduction to a sermon. He bends over to her and he says something. And he closes his Bible. And that's the last he ever opened his Bible the whole time he was here. And whatever he said to her, she made a smirk on her face. And I assume it was something like he just wants her money or he's one of those people. And you know that's not what I am. But the Bible says on the first day of the week, let every one of you, we are to come together here, bring as God has prospered us. And see, that's part of worship. That's exactly what they're doing here. In the temple, they would come into the temple and they would bring it and give it to the priest and say, this is what the Lord thy God has done for me. And when we come in here every Sunday morning, we are to remember that we are here only because God has been so good and gracious and only because of him. And therefore, we are to be obedient. You know, sometimes we have people that are on the, Brother Jim tries to keep this church directory. Every time he's got several, I say, you got to mark them off. They haven't been here in years, months. One time I had one lady come and she sat back there about where Darlene is, and I come around and I shook her hand, and I'd been pastoring for probably 8-10 years, and I introduced myself. She said, yeah, I know, so I'm a member here. I said, well, I haven't seen you since I've been here. She said, well, I haven't come since you've been here. I said, where you been going? Well, I really hadn't. I just kind of got out of going a little bit, but I said, I'd come back. She come back one time. But my point is this. Where would this house be if every member did that? God wants us to worship him. And we worship him by giving ourselves, giving our treasures, giving what God's laid upon our hearts and commanded us to do. And if we do that, then God has a way. And we're to approach it humbly, never forgetting where we came from and what we would have been had it not been for God. And we owe it all to him. Amen. Therefore, when we sing these songs, don't get in the habit of singing. And I try to tell these young people, when you get an opportunity to get up here and sing, open your mouth and sing. Remember who you're singing. Sing for what he's worth. If he's not worth anything to you, then maybe you don't need to sing. You ought to think about that. Let's pray, if you would. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us. Forgive us where we fail you. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to have our mind upon you, our thoughts upon you. Lord, we ask you to just go with us and lead, guide, and direct us. We ask you to help us, Lord, to not forget your worth to us and what you've been to us, where we would be. Remind us, dear Heavenly Father, as you reminded Israel of the Syrian, that's where they would be. They'd be an outcast. But yet you saw fit to create a whole a group of people, Lord, that was undeserving, strangers to the house of God, and be able to bring them into the family of God. Lord, that's what you've done to us tonight. We want to thank you for it. We pray, help us, dear Heavenly Father, to be obedient. Help us be gracious and grateful. And, dear Heavenly Father, just lead, guide, and direct us. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.